Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast. Eric McLean, it is time to break down this NFL draft. It's just you and me today because we have so many players to discuss, so many ACC guys. We're going to really focus in on these first, second, and third rounders. And, Mac, we got to give some of these programs some love for all the guys they had drafted, especially the program that led the ACC in players drafted might surprise some people. But first, Eric McLean, what's up, my friend? How are you?
What's up, KG? It's just you and me. It's like old times. It's just the two of us on our podcast, having fun, talking a little football. And man, what a great draft for the ACC. How fun it was to see these guys on just where their new homes are. And some surprises, some good surprises, some bad surprises of where people fell and things of that nature. But overall, I think everybody really excited about where they are, their home, their new home, and just the situations that they're going into. You know, I think these first rounders, second rounders, and third rounders, primarily who we're going to focus on today. And then, like you said, Kelly, some people that, I mean, it was really impressive. Like a team like Duke having four draft picks. I mean, the most they've had in quite some time. It was just really impressive. So let's get this thing started.
I got to be honest. When I saw Duke had four players picked, my first thought was, good for Duke. That's impressive. My second thought was, how are they so bad?
Right.
So I did have some questions about that with some of these teams. Some teams didn't have any players selected and it made a little more sense. But with Duke, that was puzzling to me. They had some guys taken in four guys taken, one in the fourth, two in the fifth, one in the sixth. And I get it. You know, when the quarterback play wasn't great, that's going to hurt you. But that was mainly my thought with Duke was, dang, what's up, guys? You had four players drafted.
You know, when you lead the world, not just the country or not just Division I, the whole world in turnovers, it's hard to win games. And, a lot of those, unfortunately, were on the quarterback position. But individual talent, they were stacked. And they had a bunch of free agent signings that, you know, I think are going to stick around for a long time, too. So very individually impressed with Duke and some of those stars that they have there.
It is a team sport.
Yes, unfortunately at times.
All right, let's start in the first round, Max. Six ACC players drafted in the first round. Trevor Lawrence, first overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Actually, let's stop there, Mac. Do you say Jaguars or Jaguars? What do you say?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
I struggle with that. I'm going to go Jags. Trevor Lawrence, first overall to the Jags. Jalen Phillips from Miami, the defensive end, 18th overall to the Dolphins. You had Caleb Farley, 22nd overall from Virginia Tech to the Titans. Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle, who I know you love, Mac, from Virginia Tech, 23rd overall to the Vikings. Travis Etienne, 25th overall to the Jags. And then Gregory Rousseau from Miami, 30th overall to the Bills. So Virginia Tech, Miami, Clemson, each with two apiece. Mac, let's start with Trevor. What are you feeling about the fit? No one was really surprised that he went number one overall, but what do you feel about the fit down there with the Jags?
Well, for starters, I think it's going to be exceptional. I'm really excited to see, you know, what these guys are going to do with, you know, Trevor. Can they protect him? Can they build the guys around him, the team around him, which I think they've shown already. They're more than dedicated to doing so. And it's going to be impressive to see. Again, when you have a guy who has had so much expectation and pressure put upon him for basically his entire life. I mean, ever since this kid, which young man now, I mean, grown man, actually, he's quite wealthy and quite old and married and he's got life figured out.
He grown.
But since he, you know, passed his freshman year, this guy has been number one. He's been the number one quarterback in high school, the number one quarterback in college, and now selected as the number one draft pick in the NFL. And there's going to be even more expectation. I think he's going to be able to keep it up. I truly do. I think that he is that special of a playmaker. There is not a throw, Kelly, that he cannot make on the football field, whether it's rolling to his left, rolling to his right, 60-plus yard bombs down the field, running, you know, again, just when things break down, him being able to create is what's really going to set him apart. And then, of course, just his legs and the design run game. I mean, he can potentially be used as such a weapon. And, you know, really just think of, you know, like what the Buffalo Bills have and Josh Allen and how effective he is with his legs. We did a little, you know, comparison side by side video where, you know, we showed that that's where his legs can potentially be in the NFL. And since I think it was 2019, Josh Allen leads the entire NFL with 17 rushing touchdowns. In that same amount of time, Trevor Lawrence has 17 rushing touchdowns and leads FBS.
Whoa.
So it's impressive to see. I think he's going to buy into the culture quickly. I think the culture is going to be molded around him as well. And it's going to really be a seamless transition.
I agree, Mac. And what strikes me about Trevor, you mentioned, you say young man, but he's really an adult. And he's only 21 years old, but he's so mature. He's got to be one of the most mature number one overall picks we've had since someone like Andrew Luck. That's why he gets those comparisons. So I think he's ready to be a pro. And we're going to talk about his new teammate, which is also his old teammate, in a second. But let's get to Jalen Phillips, the second ACC guy off the board. Were you surprised by that, Mac? Did you think he'd be the second ACC guy taken?
Listen, sometimes I don't even have to write the script, Kelly, because you just know how my brain works and you know where to go with this thing. And absolutely, that was the biggest thing for me is who's going to go to? Who's going to be the second guy drafted? Is it going to be the big offensive tackle, Christian Darrisaw? Is it going to be Caleb Farley, who, again, without medicals, I guarantee it would have been. Or is it going to be Jalen Phillips, who I think of the three is the most NFL ready and NFL made? And so you see the injuries with Christian and had a minor surgery and, you know, maybe some people put off by that. Jalen actually was the guy. And it was, I'll tell you this too, it was a little later than I thought. You know, I thought Jalen was going to creep into the top 10 or at least around the early teens. I also thought Christian Darrisaw was going to be, you know, at that 14 spot to the Chargers. But the reason why is people slide and offensive tackles slide. And so that forces everyone else to now go backwards. You know, Penei Sewell, the best tackle in this league, who I thought was going to go, you know, to the Cincinnati Bengals, they take the best wide receiver instead. So now Sewell drops all the way down to 8 or 9 to, you know, the Detroit Lions, or 7, I believe, to the Detroit Lions, and that forces everybody else. And so now Slater is available. So that's who the Chargers take. And then, of course, you know, that forces Christian Darrisaw to slide to 23rd. So, interesting where Phillips fell. I think it's a perfect situation. You know, I saw a great tweet from him that said, you know, L.A. will always be my home. And that'll be the place that I love. And, you know, it's where I started and all this stuff. But Miami saved me. And Miami saved my career, my football career. And so I think that's special to him. I think the 305 is very important to him. And now, you know, being a pro in this town, he's a guy that is never going to take anything for granted, that is never going to take an opportunity lightly, that is never going to, you know, skip workouts. Now, of course, money changes people, and maybe that's a thing. But I just don't see him being a guy that ever takes a day of this NFL career and says, I'm not going to give anything less than everything that I have. And that's exciting. And that young defensive line, that young defense, I think he's going to be a great addition, already listed as a starting outside linebacker in this 3-4 defense. So I think we're going to really see him get better and progress as an athlete, not just a pass rusher, you know, a guy that can really have an impact, you know, kind of in passing lanes and dropping in coverage. And I think the best is yet to come for Jalen Phillips. There's no question.
Great stuff, Mac. And pairing Jalen Phillips up with Christian Wilkins,
that's
that young
right.
D-line in Miami, that's an ACC D-line right there. That's going to be really fun. And now we get to the Virginia Tech portion of this draft, Mac. Caleb Farley, Christian Darrisaw going back-to-back, 22nd and 23rd. We didn't get to see Caleb Farley this season in the ACC. Would have loved to see him play. And you bring up the medical situation, the back surgery. That's the question mark with him, but he's that good, he's that talented, that he's still taken in the first round. So what did you think about these back-to-back Virginia Tech picks?
Yeah, as strange as it is for teammates to go back-to-back, I actually saw this pretty frequently in mock drafts. Now, it wasn't 22 and 23, but it was like 14, 15, 13, 14. It was very strange how, you know, I saw it two or three times that many mock drafts or various mock drafts had these guys going back-to-back, and then they actually did. So it's fun when those things kind of write themselves. But I think you hit the nail on the head with Caleb Farley. I would have loved to have seen him this year, thought that he was making really impressive strides, you know, going into last season and what he was going to be able to build upon going into the 2020-2021 season. And then, of course, he opts out, and which, you know, that was the thing he felt best. You know, his mom passes away, and you know, COVID was just hitting his family very hard, and he wanted no part of that. So can't fault him at all for that. was interested in his slide though, and was, you know, wondering how far is this really going to go, and glad that he found a home with the Titans. I think they're going to love him. You know, they need a cornerback badly, so he's going to step in right away, day one, be a starter, be a difference maker, and I think have a really good transition. I just discussed, you know, Christian's slide and why that happened, which a little bit to do with his injury, but mostly just because of where the other offensive tackles went, and it caused this natural slide. But again, another day one starter. I mean, getting the blindside protector for the Minnesota Vikings, he's going to be a guy that comes in and competes right away. There's a little bit of question marks, you know, with his overall technique, and you know, maybe that another reason that added to the slide, but he's such a good athlete. He's so great at using his strengths. And what I mean by that is, you know, some people are tall and long and agile, but they don't use it. They don't play to their length and keep guys away from them or play to their quickness. Christian does. And he uses all the tools that he has just naturally. So I can only imagine how much better he is going to get, you know, once he truly learns better technique and gets into a great offensive system and offensive coaches like the Minnesota Vikings have. So two guys, two teammates, again, going back to back, really fun to see that and just to see their lives change right there.
I had to let Mac break down that offensive line position there with Darisaw.
I appreciate it. You know, we don't get to do it a lot, but thank you for letting me.
Remember back in the day when we first started the pod and we had all these O-line guests and I was like, Mac, did you just start this with me just so you could talk to offensive linemen?
That's right.
I was a little worried.
No one cares. No one cares, Mac. Move on.
All right. Well, moving on. 25th overall pick, Travis Etienne. This pick surprised me a little bit, Mac. I think there was a lot of reasons here why the Jags did this. Even Urban Meyer said Kadarius Toney was off the board. That's kind of who we wanted. I'm surprised he said that. And I figured the Jags thought that perhaps the Bills were going to take him, so might as well take him here. If they wanted to get him at 33, they weren't going to be able to. Did you think this was a little bit of a stretch? And then what do you think about Etienne's fit there with Trevor in Jacksonville?
Yeah, you know, I think exact what you just said, the fact that he wouldn't be there at 33 really took a big, you know, thought in this and really a big reason as to why they did it. Now, there's no question that Travis Etienne is deserving of a first-round selection. How special he is. We spoke to him last week, very gracious to come on this podcast, and he's good enough. But for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, a lot of people are maybe disgruntled is the right word or confused because they did just have a rookie running back, you know, who led all rookies in rushing, and they have a backup that they just signed who two really quality guys. So there was a little bit of confusion of why would we, you know, spend this first round pick, but you've got to understand of the monster that you're bringing in of the talented, you know,
right.
Athlete.
Home run hitter.
Right. And just instant, you never know when it's going to happen. The other two guys do not have that feature. They are not as dangerous as a receiver. I mean, I expect Travis to really be used in a plethora of different ways. And it was funny to, you know, see the social media posts that the Jaguars put out of, you know, Coach Urban Meyer discuss or talking with Travis and saying, you know, do you remember that picture? Do you remember that picture I showed you? You know, that's what we're going to have you looking like in the next 4 months. And so I would love to know what that picture is, whether it's, you know, Travis putting on weight. Yeah, I don't know. And I've got to think it's just a weight thing, getting a little bit bigger, which already Travis has committed to that and understands that just with more carries, with a longer season, size comes with durability. And so thinking of that, you know, you've got to be excited. And again, just the chess piece that Travis Etienne is, I mean, I'm not saying Percy Harvin type vibes when, you know, coach was back at Florida, but I think we could see his involvement in the offense in that type of role where he's just an athlete. We put him in the backfield, we put him at slot, we send him on jet sweeps, we're going to throw it to him, and then we're going to hand it off too. He's still a running back. So I can't wait to see it. I think the, you know, familiarity with Travis and Trevor is going to shine very bright and very quickly in camp in Jacksonville. I think that when those guys do get reps together, it's going to be kind of an eye-opener type thing of, oh, these guys have done this once or twice, you know, whether, again, it's in the receiving game or just little nuances in the run game, whether it's a check or understanding, you know, Travis's ability. So the name of the game for Jacksonville is going to be up front. They've got the skill. They've got some young skill around these guys, and I think production won't be a problem. If you can protect Trevor, give him time, I think Jacksonville is going to be really special.
I was surprised by this pick, but I loved it. And, Mac, I know you've already bought your Jags gear. I have as well. We're all in on the Jags train, all in. And Travis has proven, as we've talked about many times, that he can catch the football. So he's a big weapon in that regard. And I was so happy to see Travis as a podcast alum who was so great to us coming on the pod. I was very happy for Greg at the end of this round, 30th overall to the Buffalo Bills, the defensive end out of Miami. I texted you. I was like, Mac, Greg, he did it. So if you're a fringe, this is to all the guys out there who are possibly fringe first rounders next year. We're happy to help. You know, come on the pod. You're going to become a first rounder. It's really a no-brainer. But I was excited about Greg, Mac. I know you were too.
Yeah, you know, I think ultimately what put him and Travis over the top, Kelly, is, you know, these NFL GMs and executives are looking, you know, kind of at their resume and they see, oh, appeared on Gramlich and McLean podcasts. We've got to get this guy. Like it's a no-brainer, exactly. Like you said. Exactly. So, you know, was very happy for Greg. Again, had the pleasure of, you know, just developing a relationship with him over this past year while he opted out and not being able to cover him, you know, on the field while he's playing, but just to get to know him better as a person and to see the things that he was already doing, not being in the NFL yet, really it came out to light. He didn't share it with us and maybe, you know, he was just shy about it or didn't want to discuss it, but it kind of came out through the draft process that, you know, he wanted his mom to stop working. She was a nurse and he wanted to be able to take care of her. And if he would have played at Miami, that wouldn't have been the case, you know, that instantaneously. Now, it probably would have helped him a little bit. He probably would have got drafted just a little bit higher. But in the present time where we're in a pandemic and the future is very uncertain, the one certainty that he had is, okay, if I don't play, I can sign with an agent. I can get $100,000 tomorrow. And that means my mom doesn't work anymore. And so that was, you know, he kind of came out and said that, and all the respect in the world to him. That's a dream for anybody who you know, has a loving mother and such a great mother as we all do. You want to take care of her and you don't want her ever to have to lift a finger if you can be in that opportunity and that situation. And that's what Greg did. And so more than happy that he is with Buffalo. He's wearing number 50. So I'm thinking maybe some outside linebacker type vibes, maybe in his future. I think that defense is going to have a ton of fun with Gregory. And another thing to remember, especially with him going 30 and kind of late in the first round, there's a little bit less of this, okay, we need you to be great now. Like you can wait a little bit. You can develop this guy, a little bit less pressure. Now you're still a first rounder. You're still making in the double digit millions right away, but there's a little time. And especially with a prospect like Greg, who has only been playing the defensive end position for a year competitively. Now he got injured. He practiced, he played, and then he opted out. So he's been playing that for 1 year competitively. He is going to get so much better and learn and figure it out. And he's probably going to get a lot bigger. He's going to grow even more into his body. So he might start at that outside linebacker, maybe move into a true defensive end, three technique, you know, in his future. But very excited for Gregory Rousseau. You can't teach 6'7", Kelly, at the end of the day.
No, you can't. You can't teach 6'7" at all. But with Mother's Day coming up, that's a cool story, Mac. And I'm not shocked at all, having met Greg, that that's something that he was doing, was taking care of his mom, putting his mom first. I love it. All right, that's our first round. Let's get into the second round and third rounds here, Mac, and break down some of these ACC guys that were taken. In the second round, you had Javonte Williams, running back from North Carolina, 35th overall to the Broncos. Jackson Carman, pretty early there, offensive tackle from Clemson, 46 to the Bengals. Asante Samuel Jr., the corner from Florida State, 47th to the Chargers. Tutu Atwell, wide receiver from Louisville, speed demon, 57th overall to the Rams. And Carlos Boogie Basham, 61st overall to the Buffalo Bills. So let's start with Javonte Williams. He fell into the second round, I think, just because Najee Harris and Etienne were ahead of him. He was a second rounder, but some had him as a late first rounder. I know you love Javonte Williams. What do you think about Williams going to the Broncos?
Yeah, Kelly, Javonte Williams is a guy who, you know, I thought really might sneak into that first round, especially when Najee and Travis went as close as they did back to back, you know, 24 and then 25. I thought, okay, we might see Javonte sneak into that 30 spot to the Bills, you know, where who were discussing taking Travis Etienne. And so I really thought we could see those three running backs. We discussed it last Wednesday of how they're not going to be very far away from each other. When one goes, I expect the other two to not be very far behind. And of course, 10 spots later, we see Javonte Williams go to the Denver Broncos. I am jacked up, you know, for that situation. especially if they can find some way to get Aaron Rodgers to Denver, which, again, who knows what's going to happen there. That's its own saga in its own right. But, you know, I think that that's going to be a run-heavy offense. You know, that they have a quarterback situation, whether it works out or not. And Javonte's going to thrive there in Bronco land. I'm really jacked up for that. A little bit of a surprise pick coming at 46 for some people. Some people had him in the second round. Some people knew. With Jackson Carmen and coming out of Clemson, going to the Cincinnati Bengals. So he's staying a Tiger. Clemson has a couple of other teammates up there that he'll reunite with for the Cincinnati Bengals there. Keeping his number 79, I think that's really cool and kind of a just a subtle thing that is fun and makes you feel good about, you know, being in a new situation. The fun thing or the most exciting thing I'm looking at for Jackson is this offense is going to be insane with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, they have talent all over the field, and that's not even to mention some of these other role players that are going to be really special. The biggest thing was, we got to protect Joe. We got to get somebody to protect him. Here's your protector, the Giant, Jack the Giant. Where he ends up, you know, still unsure. Maybe he starts at left tackle. I know that's ultimately where he wants to be and what he wants to play. But if there's better places, if there's a bigger need where, you know, hey, Jackson, we need you at right guard. You're going to start in the NFL at right guard. You know, there's no problem. He'll make that move immediately and do really well. So a very smart player. Cannot wait to see him in that Cincinnati Bengals offense. Kelly, maybe a Super Bowl prediction. If everybody's healthy, if Joe's healthy, this team might lead the NFL in scoring. I mean, they are going to be lighting it up offensively.
I love it, Mac. Sticking with Carmen for a second, because he is the highest drafted offensive lineman from Clemson in a long time, what makes him so special? I know his size is incredible. He had some struggles this year. I know he was dealing with some injuries, but what makes him that 46th overall pick?
Yeah, well, he is just super big and very aggressive as a player. You know, Clemson has had this, you know, kind of negative connotation for quite some time with their offensive linemen that it's a finesse offense. It's a tricky offense where we're trying to run misdirection, and the offensive linemen just they're not, you know, whatever, nasty enough. And we've seen that. I mean, we've seen guys, you know, not really get an opportunity, not get drafted because of that stigma. And so guys like Jackson Carmen, guys like John Simpson now have this opportunity to really rewrite what people think, what the NFL thinks of Clemson offensive linemen. So not saying there's any pressure, boys, but you know, the balance of an entire position group is right in your hands. So it's going to be exciting to see. Again, Jackson is ready for it. Very intelligent player, very athletic. And again, kind of like Rousseau, kind of like Phillips, I think is only going to get better.
All right. Right after Jackson Carmen, we saw Asante Samuel Jr. from FSU drafted by the LA Chargers. This is a guy that a lot of people loved his traits. They love his bloodline. They love his aggressiveness. He's a little smaller. I think that's overall why he fell. But to me, this was a steal for the Chargers, Mac.
I completely agree with you, Kelly. Again, a guy who I thought had the potential to slide in round one. Ultimately, I think it was his size that kind of got him there and a little bit of a slide. But still, if you're in the first, second, or third round, you're doing just fine and going to have a real opportunity. I think he's going to have an opportunity to play right away. Again, another day one starter. Really, in your first three rounds, you want to find these quality starters, or at least guys that can contribute a lot. He's going to be reunited with a couple of teammates out there for the LA Chargers, the guys that are really excited to get him over there and get him ready to work. I love the pick. I love the value of the pick, and I think it's going to be really good for the Chargers.
All right, speaking of lack of size, Tutu Atwell, 57th overall to the Rams. Look, Tutu Atwell is a speed demon. Tell me this, though, Mac. When I look at him, my first thought is he big enough to play in the NFL? What are your thoughts there?
Well, this is the thing. Who's going to be able to touch him? Who's going to be able to catch him? Because you think of even guys like Hunter Renfrow who, you know, just don't are not impressive physically, but yet nobody can hit him. They're so twitchy and quick and elusive that you can't really get a true shot on them. And if you do, I mean, it's going to hurt and they're going to go down. But, you know, guys that just know how to not evade, you know, tacklers, but evade big hits. You know, if I'm getting wrapped up, they know to kind of move their body and duck and avoid that bigger collision that normally comes when the second and third guy are getting there. So I think Tutu's going to be a great pro. You know, wasn't surprised at all that he was the first ACC wide receiver selected. It's actually funny, 2 years ago, EJ and I were having a little bit of a debate with, you know, Sage Surratt, Tutu, Dayami, Amari Rodgers, T. Higgins, I believe at the time, thinking that some of these guys would leave earlier. And he said Tutu Atwell is going to be, you know, the first one taken or the best pro. And his reason why is just where the NFL's going. You know, these shifty guys, these quick guys that can get off the line of scrimmage. You think of bigger corners, slot corners, big safeties that are going to be on this slot area and physically try to outmatch you. You're not going to be able to touch Tutu. He's going to be too quick, too evasive off the line of scrimmage, and, you know, just be a guy that gets open. And you've got to think the Los Angeles Rams, this new vamped offense with Matthew Stafford, he's excited to get a wide receiver like this, a difference maker that is really going to add some explosion to the offensive room. So again, another great value pick that I think is going to make some noise his rookie year.
Speed kills. We'll be watching Tutu Atwell out there in LA. All right, the last pick of the second round that came from the ACC. I love that Boogie Basham's first name is Carlos, because to me, he doesn't look like a Carlos. Carlos is too formal. This guy's name is Boogie. Boogie Basham, the DN from Wake, taken 61st overall. Did you think he dropped a little? Because after we talked with Jim Nagy, I thought, oh, well, Jim's saying this guy's going to be way up there. I know that maybe he needs to lose a little weight, but what'd you think overall of Boogie at that point?
Yeah, you know, Jim's going to protect his guys. He's going to boost the Senior Bowl, and that's what he is, why he's the executive director. He all his guys are going in the first round. Somehow, all 100 of those
And he has the candy closet. Yeah, right. We can't forget about
the candy closet. You can't be mad at that. You know, a little bit of a slide here. Didn't think Boogie would last this long, but again, it's just how it kind of went. Defensive ends, you know, slid. You know, Jalen Phillips was the first edge defender taken, and that was at 18. So now that forces everybody else to just go backwards. And so that's a very interesting piece to remember, everybody listening, that it doesn't really have anything to do with Boogie. It has everything else to do with where the first guy is taken. And that causes such a big slide for everybody else. Great value. Again, that's going to be kind of a theme for a lot of these guys. For the Buffalo Bills, again, ACC for the Bills. They have a ton of ACC draft picks of guys in their program that are from this league that they just believe in it. They identify the talent, know it's for real, and know what they can get out of those guys.
Excited to watch Boogie and Greg play together up there in Buffalo. All right, Mac, let's get to the third round. We had quite a few ACC guys go in this round. Andre Sisco, 65th overall, the safety from Syracuse to the Jags. Aleem McNeil, defensive tackle from NC State, 72nd overall to the Lions. Chaz Surratt, pretty high pick there. We're going to talk about this. Linebacker from North Carolina, 78th overall to the Vikings. Divine Diablo, the safety from Virginia Tech, 80th to the Raiders. 81st, Hunter Long, tight end from BC to the Dolphins. 82nd, Deami Brown, wide receiver from UNC to the Washington football team. Amari Rodgers goes 85th overall to the Green Bay Packers. And Patrick Jones II, defensive end from Pittsburgh, 90th overall to the Vikings. Let's talk about some of these, Mac. First, Sisco is a guy that we've been hearing about at Syracuse for a couple years now, and the Jags pick up a really good player in Sisco. I was excited, as Mac and I are now Jags fans, to see Sisco end up in Jacksonville.
Listen, Kelly, I have been a lifelong Jacksonville Jaguar fan since Thursday.
Okay,
since last Thursday. So it's been a long time. I've been a very...
Mac, I tweeted, you know, we're all Jags fans now. A Jags fan responded to me and said, okay, who are our rivals? And I was like, great
Google
question.
Search. Nothing comes up on Google. Please inform me.
Not sure. Continue.
Right. I don't know. You don't have any anymore.
Do you have any? Low-key, right. Really. Like, do you have any rivals?
Yeah, right. Probably not. When you're the worst football team for quite a long time, you know, it doesn't really work out that way. But looking at Andre Sisco, a guy who, again, I know y'all are tired of hearing me say this, but unbelievable value. This guy would have been the first safety off the board if it wasn't for this injury this past season. Is a ball hawk. This guy gets the football, gets to the end zone. He has a nose for it. He has led the league, the country in turnovers created, you know, while he's been in college, I believe twice, his freshman and sophomore season. So this guy has a knack for the football. He finds it and is just a really incredible player. So I'm excited for him to get to Jacksonville. Again, when you look at a lot of these Jacksonville picks, you know, and some of them not ACC guys, there's one thing that comes in is a glaring comparison, and they are all blazing fast. The speed is very evident with what Jacksonville is trying to do and Urban Meyer down there in Florida. So excited for him, thinks he's going to make a big impact, has to get healthy. You know, he's coming off an ACL injury, but I think he just posted a video a couple of days ago of, you know, his first real on-the-field workout post-injury, and he looked fantastic. So no question, it might take a little time, but a guy who is really going to be big for his team. Physically, talking about a guy that's going to be big for his team, Aleem McNeil from NC State to the Detroit Lions. Listen, that head coach that just got hired for Detroit wants absolute monsters. And if you look at their draft, that's what he got. Both lines of scrimmage loaded up. Aleem is going to be a guy that can just take up space. He absolutely is powerful, thick enough to really be a guy that is, you know, going to be that online point defender who says, okay, guard, okay, center, come on. And I'm going to let my linebackers feast. That's the type of guy he is. He has some pass rush moves. That'll definitely be something he has to continue to develop. But a guy who is really going to be a great starter for his team, I think, really early in his career, and excited about that draft pick.
The Lions want to be physical, so they went Aleem McNeil. What about Chaz Surratt, third rounder? This is a guy who began his career at North Carolina playing quarterback, and he's adjusted incredibly well, and now he's a third round pick. What did you make of that Surratt pick?
I would love to know, you know, just how high these guys who have changed positions, you know, have gone, especially this one. I don't know if it's ever happened, to be honest, a guy who has gone from quarterback to linebacker, quarterback to safety, quarterback to tight end, a little bit more, you know, normal. Linebacker, that is bonkers, and I think it's going to work out well. Again, we talk about Chaz, and we talk about how impressive he is as an athlete, and a couple of weeks ago, talking with Jim Nagy, just saying, hey, look, the only knock that we have on his game is that he doesn't have, you know, the greatest instincts yet. That's because he's played the position for 2 years. And he said, look, Chaz is going to get better and better. He rushes the quarterback extremely well, which you would think that would be a little bit more of a difficult thing to pick up in terms of timing, figuring out how to protect it and not give away that you're coming on a blitz. So Chaz has these things down. It's going to be very fun to see how does Minnesota use him. You know, are they going to bring him in pressure? Are they going to keep him in coverage? Because he's a guy that can do both. And again, is going to continue to learn the position, continue to be able to see things before they happen, and really just get better and better.
What about Divine Diablo? The best name by far in this group. 80th overall to the Raiders. I feel like that name just fits in Las Vegas. I'm all down for it. I thought that maybe he dropped a little just with what Jim Nagy was talking to us about with Divine. What do you think of this pick for John Gruden?
You know, I think it's a really good spot. And I think that when you see what Vegas wants to do on defense with these bigger safeties, even move them down to kind of that slot corner nickel area and just really be able to be a hybrid type player, Divine is going to just sneak in and be a baller from day one. He's going to be a guy that can really do a lot of things for his team. I think the placement is fantastic. A guy who I had seen as low as in the hundreds. So to be in that 80 spot is really good for him. And again, a great position to be in defensively, because we know how, again, the Raiders want to use a bigger safety type body.
And then speaking of bigger guys, Hunter Long. I know you've been very high on Hunter Long. This is a tough, hard-nosed, BC kind of guy, 81st overall to the Dolphins.
I would have loved for Hunter to come back one more year, because I really think he could have been, you know, TE number one in the next year's draft. I think when you look at, obviously, Kyle Pitts is a freak of nature from Florida and is such a unique beast that there's no there's really no comparison. And maybe you even just call him a pass catcher. He's not even a tight end. So I think Hunter would have had that opportunity if he came back, but, you know, understand circumstances. He's graduated, you know, wants to move on and go to the next level, and is a great spot. I mean, third round is a fantastic place. I know my guy Jason Baum is so excited up at BC. He is their senior associate AD for communications. He is a Miami stan, not a fan, a stan. It is a super fan. And when I saw a Boston College guy go to Miami, I knew he was going to be so jacked up. And sure enough, you know, we've got an all caps tweet and is, you know, happy to have one of his BC guys down there. So it's going to be a great fit. Again, you've got a young quarterback in Tua. Young quarterbacks love tight ends, that security blanket. Hunter Long's a guy that can stretch the field and also put his hand down and really give you some added boost on the edge in the run game.
Here's my proposal, by the way, for the Kyle Pitts position. Either it's a tight wide receiver or it's a wide end, because He's not a tight end. He's basically a wide receiver that lines up near the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I think I'm going to also, you know, throw mine in there and just say freak, just the freak position. You know, there's a couple on every team, and he's one of them. I mean, just put him anywhere on the field and let him go crazy.
These wide receivers who went later in this draft have some freak vibes as well, with Diami Brown, 82nd overall, Amari Rodgers, 85th. Excited for Amari. He's our guy. He's been excellent on the pod. I thought he dropped a little bit, but both of these guys bring that speed, Mac, and I'm excited to see what they do with these two teams.
Yeah, there's no question. Diami, obviously, just an absolute burner, a guy that has been proven, that has gone against some of the best first-round draft picks in years previous and really held his own, and maybe even more so. You know, a guy that is going to be able to get up on you quickly. He's going to really be able to stretch a defense, put stress on a defense, and even if it's just as a diversion, really impact his football team. Excited to see his future, you know, with the Washington football team. A little bit of a carousel at quarterback there, and you know, who's going to be the day one starter. Probably Fitz Magic, you know, a guy who has been everywhere in the league. So is going to be a great mind, a great, you know, just teacher for Diami, and really be able to have him increase his football knowledge and get better as a pro. And then, like you said, our guy Amari, wearing a single digit, Clemson's first ever single digit wide receiver, going from 3 to 8. Just excited for him. And I'll obviously be way more excited if Aaron Rodgers decides to stay there, because I think he is a guy that just can impact an offense incredibly well. Because similar to Travis, but just think about it more as a receiver, he can run the ball and he can do things out of the backfield, primarily going to want to be at the wide receiver position, but he's just so thick. He's a guy that, again, can really physically do so many things for your football team.
Mac, one more guy to talk about in the third round. It was Patrick Jones II, the defensive end out of Pittsburgh. And we got to shout out Pittsburgh here. I teased this out at the beginning of the pod. Pittsburgh led ACC teams with 6 players drafted. Now, Patrick Jones was their first, and then they had a 4th-rounder, 5th-rounder, 2 6th-rounders, and a 7th-rounder. So not a lot of guys at the top, but still, 6 guys from Pitt. That's exciting for the Panthers. I was impressed by that with Pittsburgh.
I was as well. And maybe the guy that was the biggest surprise was Jason Pinnock. You know, a guy who's a very physical cornerback. He went to the New York Jets. I mean, going to be a great player, but really did not expect to see his name in the 5th round. And then Patrick surprised me as well. And going in the 3rd round, I thought Rashad Weaver would have went before him. You know, a twitchy guy, a guy that really can do a lot at the defensive end position. Patrick didn't test as well, but still has the production. I mean, has unbelievable numbers. And I think that's what ultimately Minnesota saw and wanted to say, hey, you know, we can use this guy and we can make it happen with him regardless. He's going to join his former teammate, Jalen Twyman, who went in the 6th round to Minnesota. I mean, I think, you talk about steals, this might end up being the steal of the draft. 199. There was another guy who went 199. Do you know who it is, Kelly? Wait, a couple, a handful of maybe even decades ago. 199.
199 is, no, that wasn't Tom Brady.
It was 7 Super Bowls. Okay. Tom Brady. So I'm not saying Jalen's going to, you know, turn into a quarterback and win 7 Super Bowls, but I do think he is going to have a big time impact. He is a dominant player. He's silky smooth with his hands. Really a fierce, just attacker is what I want to call him. Not these big sloppy defensive linemen that hold the post. He's a guy that is attacking and going after you and getting tackles for loss and sacks. Led the ACC, maybe total. I for sure know it was interior defensive lineman 2 years ago in sacks. Just a guy that he's a difference maker. He's a game changer. He's a guy you have to know where he is and identify him. Damar Hamlin, a great safety, I think going to be a really good role player for Buffalo. And then my guy, Jimmy Morrissey, who is just a great, great person, a great guy, a great story, going from a walk-on to a team captain to a draft pick. Just a great opportunity for him. You know, heard a lot of people, you know, saying the phone call between Jimmy and the Las Vegas Raiders was impressive, but he's a guy that's going to earn his way. I hope, you know, when you get to these later rounds, it's never a secure thing, a sure thing, if you will. But I think he's a guy that can win over a locker room quickly and really, you know, be able to have a great impact for his team.
Well, there you go. First 3 rounds broken down. I'm not sure where you're going to get that kind of breakdown elsewhere, y'all. That's great stuff from Mac, who is just a bastion of football knowledge. Are there any other guys drafted that you want to hit on outside of the third rounds? We mentioned Duke. Four Duke guys all went in the latter rounds there, which was impressive. Des Fitzpatrick from Louisville going in the fourth round. Anyone else stand out, Mac?
Yeah, one guy, I forgot to mention him, and I'm very ashamed of this. I am so sorry. Is my guy out of Syracuse, Ife Melifonwu, a guy who is going to be just a fantastic player. He is a massive corner, a guy who's about 6'3", 200+ pounds, is going to be a baller. And he went to Detroit. Again, I talk about the physicality that Detroit wants to have. He is going to be a guy that again, is a big-time corner, maybe even move to that slot corner to play some of these bigger wide receivers. But excited for his impact. Think he's going to really be a guy that makes a difference right away. And, you know, Kelly, you mentioned the number and the number of, you know, draft picks that the ACC had. Really consistent, you know, kind of numbers throughout the board. Pitt led the way with 6. Then Clemson and North Carolina had 5. A couple of people with 4. Miami, North Carolina, Virginia Tech. So, you know, really just consistency throughout. The one school that didn't have a draft pick, and I was pretty disappointed with this, Virginia. You know, thought Charles Snowden would really have a chance to, you know, sneak into a later round just as a leader, as a, again, a chess piece, a guy who's 6'7". There's not too many linebackers that can move like him, you know, walking around at 6'7" in the league. But, you know, he signed a contract, excited for his next steps and, you know, the opportunity ultimately that he's going to get in Chicago, because we know what they like to do with outside linebackers and how they can use them in unique ways. So excited for those guys, all these guys throughout the draft. Of course, we would do a 5-hour podcast if we talked about each individual guy. There were so many, but you know, it's exciting times and can't wait for their future. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Excited for this NFL schedule coming out soon where, again, we start to see some matchups, who these teammates are going to play. It just takes a new dimension into it and cannot wait to see it. But Kelly, it is now time for us to move to our ACC Spotlight of the Week. And as you guys remember, this is where we're going to find some fun storylines throughout the ACC, whether it's spring football, baseball, softball, lax, soccer, it's all going on. And for our ACC of the week, this week, we're focusing on baseball and particularly what Clemson baseball just did this weekend. Guys, if you've kept up with baseball at all, Clemson has had a season to forget. There is no question about it. Not a great start at all. But what they just did was swept Louisville, one of the top teams in the country. And this marks the first time the Cardinals have been swept ever since joining the ACC way back in 2015. It was just an impressive performance from the pitching standpoint, from hitting home runs. Caden Grice hit 3 home runs and 8 RBIs on Friday. He then went 6-8 over the next 2 games, including another home run. So really the bats came alive for Clemson, something that, you know, we hadn't seen in that form or fashion all year long. So the Tigers, as Omaha gets a little closer, as the ACC tournament gets a little closer, starting to get some real momentum and juice.
No doubt about it, Mac. And Caden Grice, seeing him play is still on my list to go do that. This guy's huge. He's 6'6", 240. Like, he's a tight end playing baseball. And Louisville still, though, in a very good position. I couldn't believe that was their first sweep since joining the ACC. That's crazy. That's very impressive.
Wild. Yeah, they're good. They are very good.
And another team, Mac, that's at the top of ACC baseball that has surprised people's Notre Dame. They swept North Carolina this past weekend, including a 19-5 win in the final game of the series. That was the most runs the Irish have ever scored in an ACC game. Notre Dame's up to number 7 in the most recent D1 baseball poll. And they play number 18 FSU this weekend in a huge series. So keep an eye out for that series. I'm assuming some of those games will be on ACC Network. And look at Notre Dame, Mac, not a football school, not a basketball school. How about a baseball school with Notre Dame?
In the words of the great Jordan Cornette, we are a baseball school. That's what he says about Notre Dame. And you got to love it. You got to love him. Guys, that's it for this episode. If you haven't figured it out yet, we have an awesome producer in Richmond Weaver. You've got to check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports. He works magic on his podcast. He does magical things for our podcast to make sure we sound great each and every week. Be sure to check him out. But also, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Drop us a little rating, a little review. We would always appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.